month, and sometimes it's hard for me to think back and remember that God is the same today as He was last month, 1,000 years ago in the beginning. And that, to me, is gives me a lot of comfort. The other thing, I guess, thinking of that, holding on to God's hand, is how important He is to each of us. And, you know, I just think about all of us being lost and being sinners, and how we have really no rights for anything, and yet we can hold on to God's hand, and He promises to take care of us, and to we can live with Him forever. So I just am thankful for God, thankful that we're here and have an opportunity to worship Him. The good news for you is that I'm not the regular preacher. The bad news is that Dale is. So I'm not. Sorry, that's after he helped me put the slides together, but it's all over now, so I can. It's another year, so I can say that. But I do want to recap some things to start off with, and several of the points that Dale has mentioned to us over the last few weeks about being called to greatness. And Dale pointed out a couple of things. Is first of all and foremost is to remember what our goal is, and our goal as Christians is to save the lost. And that's, you know, whether we're talking about finances, we're talking about giving of our time, what, no matter what we're talking about, that's the goal, and that's something that it's sometimes easy to lose focus of what our goal is, and that's to reach out to the lost. To that end, I think Dale pointed out four different types of giving that he outlined. And that was kind of a have-to giving, a giving that you kind of do it because you feel guilty. Remember, he talked about that, and I mean, that rang true. I mean, I've given that way before and still do to some extent, not just in the giving to the church, but giving to, you know, whomever I might give to. I think, well, I feel kind of guilty if I don't do it. The want-to giving of empathy. Then there's the love to giving from appreciation, and the call to giving, which is a tribute, which is kind of the highest level of giving. But what God wants from us isn't our time and isn't our money, and He doesn't need anything from us. But what He wants from us is our willingness to give. And I think that was a great point that Dale brought out in his message, was He wants our hearts. And it doesn't matter how many zeros you put on the check, or it doesn't matter how hard you work and look how good you've done with the hours that you've put into the church work. It's, you know, what's in your heart, what your heart is all about, and your willingness. And then to cap it off in Matthew 22:37-38, that we need to love God with all of our heart, mind, and strength. So when we're talking today about finances, we're really talking about more than that. We're talking about giving to God and giving everything to God, not just that one aspect of finance. And I hope that this is a little bit broader message than just about money. I think the other thing, one of the lessons Dale mentioned, the four basics of money that he pulled out of the Bible. There's teachings that we can learn, and one, it's futile to seek happiness through earthly wealth. And I don't know how many of you, probably a lot of you are like me and seek happiness or have sought happiness in material things or external things, if you will. And what we find is that is doesn't satisfy very long if because those external circumstances change. We have no control over that. But if we seek God in those things that He brings to us, to find happiness through Him, because He is unchanging, we don't have to worry about our focus and our happiness and our joy changing, because it's steadfast. It's based upon something that does not change. It's not based upon if somebody's going to destroy destroy my home, or it's not based upon whether or not I have a job and how much money I make, and it's not based upon those external things that I have no control over, but it's based upon my joy through Jesus. Also, another teaching is that we ought to use the wealth that we accumulate, the riches that we have here, our finances, for God's work. And that should be our first focus. It's kind of like giving our first fruits. Do we do that, or do we give the leftovers to God? The third thing was one way to overcome this self-centeredness or that greed is by giving itself. And, you know, how good it feels for Christians to really give and give out of the love and give from your heart, because I think God made us that way, as to be givers, because God is such a giver, and the scriptures really show that how much he's given for us just in giving his son alone. It was the greatest gift of all. So there's got to be a lot of joy, a lot of happiness that we can get just from the fact that we do give. And the last thing is that Jesus reminds us that the riches really are in heaven and not of earth. And it's really been apparent to me in this last month when we've been in Afghanistan the last few weeks. And I'm thinking about those kids and the families over there that have done nothing wrong. I mean, the only thing that they've done is been born where they've been born, to the parents they've been born to. And I think, to the other extreme, I have done nothing right. I've just been born to the parents that I've been born to. I've been born in the United States. I have done nothing right or wrong in that regard. And, you know, I think how much giving and our giving can really make a difference in people's lives. And a friend of mine and I were talking the other day about, you know, just how could people really feel so angry at the United States and the citizens here. And, you know, I can see it. I really can. If you're removed and in a different part of the world and you're living on the ground, and not that you have to be in a different part of the world to do that. I saw some people in Portland this week living under bridges and viaducts. But when you see that, you know, that how people actually just barely get by and they're fighting for the essentials of life. And then you take a look at a country like the United States from afar and you think, well, everybody there is rich. I mean, people have, you know, homes and they have air conditioning and heat, you know, and they, I mean, forget the basics, you know, forget the fact that, you know, you're going to have food tonight. I mean, we all take that for granted to a certain point, probably. At least I do. And these people have no idea if they're going to live tomorrow. So I can see, you know, I put myself in their position and see, well, these people are over there and they're rich and they have everything. I think this just brings me to the point of us being accountable for what we have, not just in our finances, but in our health, the time that we have. We don't have to spend 24 hours a day just watching out for our lives and to make sure our kids aren't going to be killed tonight. We have time, and what are we doing with that time? I'm probably the worst when it comes to making sure I'm maximizing, you know, my time. One of the things before I actually get into the budget, if we could get the first overhead slide up here. I don't know if y'all can see that. This is just kind of an overview of our contributions from last year. And I tell you that I'm very happy to be a part of this congregation. When I take a look at these numbers, what it tells me is we've contributed $280,000 in contributions last year, about $5,400 a week. But if you look down here about special contributions over and above what we collect on a Sunday morning, We had individuals who contributed $10,000, almost to the penny, for the van that we also raised, you know, about $7,000 additional for the van through fundraisers, and people gave their time, both the teens and the adults, to help raise the money. But the fact that we had people actually donated money, that's over and above what we need on a week-to-week basis to fund the work of the church. There's been special needs of families and people in the community that we've raised money, and people have donated over $6,000 from this congregation. The weekly baskets, which Dave Wilder will speak to, that we pass around during class on Sunday mornings, over $3,000. And then the one Sunday where we collected money at the door for anyone who wanted to contribute for the disaster relief, over $1,100. I'm thankful for all of you and for your generosity and just your openness to give. And I know a lot of you give out of your, I would almost say, not poverty, but you give out of your poorness, which is obviously, you know, means more than somebody giving the leftovers from their savings account. And I really appreciate being a part of this congregation. As we look forward to the challenge and what we're going to be doing next year, I've got a few things I think that will help us keep our focus on what we're trying to do. If we take the next slide, this is just kind of a breakdown of the major categories, if you will, of the money. I say investments instead of expenditures, because we have to look at the money that we're contributing as an investment. It's an investment in God's work, into His kingdom. And one of the things that I didn't do and I should have done was to show, for instance, the payroll and insurance. I should have broken that down into categories to show in which of the areas of ministry those people were working, because you've got Dale, who's working with the membership and with the ministry, and you've got Steve working with the youth, and Dolores doing all the support work, and that is more than a payroll line. I mean, that's missions, and it's doing God's work. And next year I will do that, make an attempt to actually show where that's at, versus just a budget line. If you look at the next slide, it's just a pie chart giving you a little bit of a overview from a percentage perspective to kind of give you a perspective. And by the way, after services, anybody that would like to have this presentation, just give me your name, or if you have an email address, I'll email it to you or bring you a hard copy next week. I also have copies of the budget that I'll have on the back table after service, so you can pick up one per family, so you can get every line item detail. The next slide actually is a slide broken down by the areas of that we've broken the budget into, from membership, magnification, and maturity. And then the following slide, if you would go to that one, actually has what's in each of those categories. So as a reminder, well, what's in missions? What's in the ministry budget? What's in management? You know, what goes into those categories? The thing that I want to say before we go on to kind of this year's budget and what we're trying to accomplish is I got an email from a friend of mine, and he says that for all the negative things we have to say to ourselves, God has a positive answer for it. As we show and talk about what we're trying to do, God's work, how we're going to do it in 2002, where the money's going to be spent, I want you to think about something, because my thought when I read through some of these was, well, what's my excuse? And what's my excuse for not giving more of my time? What's my excuse for not giving more of my money? What's my excuse, whatever it might be? And I know people, and I do this myself, is that instead of looking for reasons to do something, I try to find reasons why I shouldn't, to justify well, I'm tired, or somebody else will do it. And this really brought some things to mind. It says, you say it's impossible, but God says that all things are possible in Luke 18:27. You say, I'm too tired. God says, I will give you rest, Matthew 11:28-20. I should say, I say, because this really applies to me. I say, well, nobody really loves me, and God says, I love you, John 3:16. I say that I can't go on, and God says, my grace is sufficient. That's in 2 Corinthians 12:9. And you say, I can't figure things out, and God says, I'll direct your steps, Proverbs 3:5-6. I say, I can't do it, and God says, you can do all things, Philippians 4:13. I say, it's not worth it. God says, it'll be worth it, in Romans 8:28. And I say, I can't forgive myself. He says, I forgive you, 1 John 1:9. And you say, I can't manage this. God says, I will supply all your needs. Philippians 4:19. And you say, I'm afraid. And God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. I say, I'm always worried and frustrated. And God says, cast all your cares on me. 1 Peter 5:7. I say, I don't have enough faith. And God says, I've given everyone a measure of faith. Romans 12:3. I say, I'm not smart enough to do this. God says, I give you wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:30. I say, I feel all alone. God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. If you thought of any other excuses, let me know, because I'm sure the Bible addresses those too. That was just a good thing to remind me. What we're going to do is spend a couple minutes with a couple of the people that have responsibility for spending some of your money. And first, I'd like to go to the next slide for the youth and for the children and ask Steve Autry just to come up and maybe give a couple minute overview of some of the things that he has on his agenda. Okay.
Never been introduced as someone who spends your money. A lot. If you'll notice, there's the big increase there. That is not because I'm spending more. We're just lumping a couple things together, like the children's education, with that. What do we do with the youth and family ministry budget? You know, there's a lot of different things we do and are planning to do this next year. But kind of one thing that with the youth ministry, there's kind of almost two levels. We do a lot of area-wide stuff, and then we do some stuff congregationally. For example, today we're going to leave at 1 o'clock from the offices to go down to North City Church, have a worship with them, and then go out for 2 hours and do a service projects, and then come back and eat, and then just have a worship there together with the North City Church. There's going to be anywhere from 200 to 300 teens that'll be there for that. That's kind of some of the area-wide stuff we do. Also area-wide, we'll have Pinecrest, which Carl and Shannon Wynn are coming to speak at. It's the first weekend of November. Soul Lift, you know, the 1st of August. About 2,000 people come in from around the Midwest. You know, we have Teen Leadership Conference with Don McLaughlin coming in, and it's probably one of the best things we do. The deepest thing we do as far as trying to equip our teens, and it's for the leaders, the senior high. We meet at a hotel, and Don McLaughlin spends the weekend with them. Just a real powerful weekend. This year, we're going to start a new leadership conference with the junior high, and it'll be in April. It'll be some of the same goals, but being it's junior high rather than senior high, it'll look a little different. Many of you helped last March with our tabs that we had here. We had about 500 teens and adults that were in this auditorium for a worship time together. We're hosting a tabs also next March. Some of the stuff we do. We have Camp Neotez. We're going from 1 week to 2 weeks with the senior high with Camp Neotez this next year. Some things I'm planning with our own kids. next summer we'll have our Rocky Mountain Discipleship Camp, and because of the cost getting so high with renting cabins and having that, Terry Bartlow, the youth minister in Fort Collins, we went out looking for places and we're just astounded at the prices. So what we're going to do is we're going to go out there, and we've rented a campground on top of a mountain about 8,100 feet, and we're going to stay in tents. And we're also going to be able to do some rappelling. There's a guy there at the church in Rocky Mountain that does rappelling. He's going to teach us some of that. We'll do some whitewater rafting, and we'll have a lot of Bible classes and hiking. It's just a real powerful week of discipleship. I'm planning this winter to go with the junior high up to Chicago for a weekend mission trip up with Chris Westcott. Several years ago, he was kind of an intern with me here with that church there, and working with the homeless shelter there. We did that 2 years ago, and it was a real powerful thing. Going to Honduras next summer with Linda Trevathan and I will be leading a group to Honduras at the end of July. We'll be going to Catacamas and working with Predison with that. We have our junior high discipleship days. We have all those kind of big events, but I think the most significant are, like, every Wednesday night, we meet. It's kind of the constant feeding that's done. And to me, that's probably most important, the Wednesday nights and Sunday morning class that we have. And on Wednesday nights, the Spores and Gay and I are there. We're working with the junior high and teaching the junior high. Right now, we're going through some basic Bible facts. It was interesting, a couple weeks ago we were going through some things and asking them where, we were talking in Acts, where's Pentecost? And one of the teens looked, says, is it in the Ark of the Covenant? So we thought we needed to do more basic Bible facts and try and teach them that Pentecost wasn't in the Ark of the Covenant. And it's not in the Ark of the Covenant. Some of you were kind of wondering about that. So we do, and then also on Wednesday nights with the senior high, we have six of our teens that are leading some small group Bible studies with the teens, and we just kind of filter out through the offices, and they have that, and then we come back and have a praise time together. November 11th, you might be thinking we've got a lot of leaves falling. November 11th is going to be a rent-a-teen as a fundraiser for the church van. What we're going to do is we'll have a spaghetti dinner here, and we will have a silent auction for the teens, and they can come to your house for a couple hours and rake your leaves or whatever you'd like them to do at a price that would be a donation for the church van. So that'll be November 11th. You can mark your calendars and keep thinking, I don't have to rake these leaves. I got some teens that I can get to come do that. So that's just kind of in a nutshell some of the things we'll be doing with our teens this next year.
Hey, Steve. Thanks, Steve. Can you get my presentation back there that you took with you? You trust him with anything. Well, you can see that we have a lot going on with the youth, and I think it's so important. It's been so important to my family having the Steve and the work that he does with the youth group, and the money that we spend there is very, very well spent. It's made a big impact on our lives and on our lives of our kids. So I really appreciate that, Steve. The next slide is kind of an overview on the missions, and speaking on behalf of the missions committee today, Jeff Fogarty. Jeff said he would only spend 20 or 25 minutes. He'd make it quick. Should I just stand here and wait, or should I sit down? Okay.
It was pretty comical. I told Dale I was going to preach next week, and I guess he told David, they're all freaking out. What is he going to say? What is he going to say? Oh, Lord, we can't have that. The mission budget for this year is $54,000. But the mission committee is only responsible for $45,000 of that money. The other is broken up into some other ministry leaders. And of that $45,000, if you want to write this down, the budget is $30,000 for Mauritius, $10,000 for North City, and $5,000 for France, Marseille. The mission committee right now consists of myself, Jim Griffith, Karen Andrews, and Joel Barr. If anybody has a heart and some time, you want to come join us on our mission committee, we need help. Because we have more questions about what to do with missions than we have answers. That Mauritius budget was originally for Bob and Patty, as you well know. And since they could not stay in Mauritius, we're struggling to determine what to do with that budget. We have Tony and Caroline still in Mauritius. We have Kim in Mauritius. We don't know if she's going to be able to stay. Emily is back in the States. Melissa Jung could not get into Mauritius. So there's big question marks. Part of that, if you remember the talk about a Bell Trust, Bell Trust is a group of people who have, I guess they have a bunch of invest. Someone donated a bunch of money, and the interest of that money they use for missions. Well, the way that works is that it's a matching fund. If your supporting congregation gives X amount of dollars, they match that money. We told them back in September that things had changed and Bob and Patty could not stay, but we would like them to continue to support the work in Mauritius with us. They met about it and talked, and they agreed to continue support until the end of this year. So, since it's matching funds, there's basically $15,000 between now and the end of the year for Mauritius. After that, we have question marks. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if Tony and Caroline are going to stay in Mauritius. There's talk of them leaving because of various reasons. So if you would pray for that for us and help us, ask God to help us make decisions. And the North City budget, we're hoping to pick up some of Jenny's support. I'm sure she's happy to know that. And Marseille, we're increasing the budget a little bit this year, up to $5,000 for Marseille, France. Some of that money, one thing Jim came up with a good idea a couple months ago is that maybe we can ask Craig and Garth to go to Mauritius, since they're a lot closer to Mauritius than we are. So we talked to them, and what they're planning on is taking a team of their interns and both Craig and Garth to go to Mauritius to encourage Tony to kind of be our liaison to find out how we can help them, what they need, what they're thinking. If it's a good idea for them to stay in Mauritius, Tony and Caroline, that is. You know, part of being on a mission committee is to really counsel, to help the people that want to do missions in making that decision. And that's what we hope to do. So part of that money we plan on, part of the Mauritius money we plan on helping both Craig and Garth spend at least a week. I think it's going to be 2 weeks in Mauritius. If I'm confusing you, just talk to me afterwards. But on a bigger picture, I guess, you know, missions, this church, my desire for this church is to be about missions. Is to be about seeing the lost and reaching out. And it seems to me that we're losing the battle. We have hundreds of mosques in the city of St. Louis. We have thousands and thousands of people who are from other countries that have come here with their religion, and they're continuing on with their faith. But where are we? So I pray that we can use some of this money locally to reach out to the thousands and thousands of Muslims here in St. Louis.
Amen.
Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff, and I appreciate the work that the committee's doing as well. It's a tough job, and it's behind the scenes, and a lot of things going on there. And as Jeff mentions, he's not looking for anybody that has a heart for missions, just somebody with a heart. Did you mean to say that, Jeff? Anybody with a heart could be on the... Okay. So we opened up the guidelines there for that committee. The next area we have is we're going to talk about really the last area besides just the general management area, and that is that of benevolence. And Dave Weiler is going to give us some of his comments on what's going on here. Okay. Thanks, Dave.
Good morning. So God can teach us how the last will be first, and so I'm hoping it's not too much of a stretch for an accountant to get up here and explain that less is not really more. Again, this number is smaller for the new year because of our shuffling around categories. Namely, we have over $2,000 for the Urban Scouting Outreach Program, Craig Piper's ministry, and that's been moved out of a ministry category and into the youth. It was part of that increase you saw in that slide. And so less really is more. We've got a new area this year. We're going to give $750 to Camp Neotez. We've never done that before as a budget line item. We found out that about 10% of the campers at Neotez are from Mid-County, and we figured over 10% of the volunteers are. So we are blessed a great deal by our families and our children, and decided to stretch and do that as a new priority this year. So that's something that's new. Before we talk any other numbers, I just have to remind us, it's always good to remember that God is huge. He is creator. He is worthy of awe. He is awesome. And he chooses to concern himself with the number of hairs on our heads and displays his willingness over and over to give and to provide and to serve. And I praise God that that is his spirit. And I am thankful that we can see it displayed in a lot that we do as a body. And so that is wonderful. The dollars here are primarily for the benevolence ministry, a little bit for the food pantry, the Camp Neotez that I mentioned, and Christian Family Services. And for example, benevolence, this past year, we gave 44 gifts of assistance at an average of $165 each. And that's our community coming to this church saying, I need some help, and our ability to respond. And so I'm really thankful for that. Now, that does not count that special contribution like for the Mills family after the fire, or the New York collection, New York relief effort, that kind of thing. And so it's great to be able to respond to our community. The food pantry, similarly, the people that came asking for food and their family members totaled 468 persons in this last year. And that's not just one meal apiece. And so, again, that's our community coming to this body saying, please help me. And we say, okay, we can. And I'm thankful that we are in a position to do that. The food pantry, I do need to mention, has a couple of challenges this year. There will not be a Walk for Hunger. The hosting organization is no more. So we're going to do kind of our own thing this year. The last weekend of this month is Daylight Savings, and we all gain an hour. And so our theme for that Sunday is Give an Hour to the Food Pantry. And we ask you to consider whatever 1 hour of your time is worth. You might consider giving that in the benevolence collection that day. It will be earmarked 100% for the food pantry. We used to get about $500 from the Walk for Hunger, from our efforts, a lot of walkers and pledges. We're hoping to replace a good bit of that in that way. Or you could give your hour to the food pantry as part of the Make a Difference Day that is going on that weekend. We'll be talking about that more, too. Helping the food pantry is one way you can do that. Also, the food pantry really needs volunteers for Fridays. We went from Monday, Wednesday, Friday just to Monday and Fridays last year, a little over a year ago. And Fridays, we're really having trouble staffing. And so if anyone is available, I think it's 9:30 to 11:30 on Mondays and Fridays, we could really use volunteers there. And finally, Christian Family Services. You may recall about a year ago, they started a capital campaign, $250,000 to pay off their new building on Big Bend and all the remodeling done. They have collected $210,000 to date. That is just tremendous. And so they're going to continue with that effort, another $40,000 this year. But an even greater need for Christian Family Services is that of foster families. If they're going to continue to be able to meet that need in the community and provide adoptions to Christian families, foster families are needed. And our body has been tremendously supportive of CFS in that area, having active foster families and former ones like Amy and myself. We're going to try to create opportunities for people to learn about foster parenting this year and what's involved. And I declare publicly that you can ask and not commit yourself. Okay? So if you're interested in that or know someone that you think would be good at that, give them a nudge or pray about that, because that's the greatest need for CFS. And I'm very thankful for the display of God's Spirit that continues here. Thanks.
Thank you, David. We really running out of time fast because of our commitments to the school here to make sure we're out today. I'll go through the next couple of slides kind of quickly. If you will, the management piece, that's me looking over the tape and saying, how much money are we spending, you know? The management piece, you know, has a lot of things in it. As you can see, again, I'll make this presentation available to those who would like to see it. If we can go forward a couple of slides to the 2002 goal. Go another one. Our goal is to average $6,010 a week in contributions, and our actual contributions last year averaged $5,366. So you can see that we've got a little bit of a stretch there, but I hope you can see that we have some good causes and that we're doing work around the world with the money that's being contributed. If you go to the next slide for me. This is just something I'm throwing out to our family, I throw out to you as well, and that is, take a look at where you're spending your time. Are you praying in secret? Are you studying the Word? Are you spreading the Word? Are you ministering to others? And how are you doing donating money financially? Those are all areas in which are important for us to make sure that we're doing our part from a giving perspective. So when we evaluate what we're going to do this coming year, please keep in mind it is more than the money. It's what are you doing with your time? And on the back end of these slides, the last two, and we won't go through those today, obviously, but there's a lot of examples of what Jesus would do. I actually thought about saying, what did Jesus do from a giving perspective? Because the Bible has so many examples of how he gave and gave and gave and gave, yet he had nothing to give but his life. You think about that. He had no money. He had no possessions, nothing to give, but he gave everything that he had. And I just ask that as a congregation that you will examine what you're giving in your time and in your money and efforts, and that what you give will make a difference in the community and what we're able to do. I'm going to take this time then to offer a prayer for the contribution that we're going to collect today. And if you would, pray with me, please. Father, we're just so thankful that we're here, that you blessed us with life. Father, we just pray that we can do something with this life that you blessed us with. We know that we're just a tool, Father, and we just pray that we'll allow you to work through us, and we pray that we don't get in the way. We pray for the folks today, Father, that are contributing, that they can give the way that you want us to give, Father, in a willing way, and that we can take this money and the leaders of this congregation can use it to further your kingdom and your work. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.